You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 114. And on today's show, we have a guest, Lisa. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you'll know that when we have a guest, we record the guest section in the middle, and then afterwards, we pop back to the start of the show so that I can add this bit on, because I like to be able to say to you, oh, we've got Lisa coming up, and she's got a dream about this, that, or the other. And I can't do that at the start of the show before I speak to the guest, because I never know what the dream is. When we bring a guest onto the show, I specifically ask, please don't tell me your dream. I like to just hear it as we're recording it, in the same way that you, the listeners, will hear it for the first time, so that you can get involved in the process of what it's like to tell your dream for the first time and have me interact with you, or what it's like to sit with me listening to someone's dream and go through the process. So that's what we do. But because we have just recorded it, I can tell you that you're going to love Lisa's dream. Lisa's dream involves a plane, a spider, a bicycle, a little bit of saucy naughtiness, and a Venus flytrap. Now, I know probably just me saying the little bit of saucy naughtiness is going to get you to listen come what may, but it is a fantastic dream, and it does have, it is a dream that very largely explores relationships, why they work, why they don't work. So lots of good reasons to enjoy that dream interpretation with Lisa there. And of course, as always, it's not only the interest of listening to someone having their dream interpreted and having the alchemy produced, it's also the interest of listening to the dreamer respond. So you can actually be there in the chair with me listening to their responses. Oh, yes, I relate to that. Why? What happened? And telling their story a bit. So you get to enjoy all of that. And you get to pick up some dream interpretation tips that you can apply to your own dreams. And because isn't this just the way that life works? There's always something in there for you too. There's a little synchronicity, a little resonance, a little something that maybe you need to hear today that is just going to make a little adjustment in your life that's going to make a big difference. So lots and lots of reasons to listen to this show, as there are to all of our podcast shows, and lots of reasons to have a little think and maybe pass the link and the podcast around to friends, colleagues, family, people that you think might also just enjoy being introduced to The Dream Show. Going through the formal announcements before we plunge into Lisa's dream, please visit my website at www.dream.net.au for lots of free information and also lots of other free resources and also details as to how to contact me if you would like to have a dream interpreted by email, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you'd like to talk to me by Skype or phone deeply and confidentially about a dream that you've got or a recurring dream, or if you'd like to go to our shop, buy our courses, our e-courses, books, e-books, and so on and so forth. Or I go to my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, where I generally put one or two little stories in each week. Or find us on Facebook or da-da-da-da-da, and mustn't forget our new Dream Show blog, which is far more efficient than the old one and really lovely. Lots of beautiful new artwork too. And its web address has no W's. Don't put the W's in. Its web address is thedreamshow.tv, thedreamshow.tv. And okay, I know you really want to hear about Lisa's naughty, saucy dream. So here we go. Welcome to The Dream Show, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm well, really well.
And you're laughing, you're giggling. You must be excited to be on the show.
Oh, look, I am. I am excited. And I've got a feeling naughty dream to share with people. So, you know, we have to make of it what we can. Okay. I don't know what it says about me, but I'm going to find out.
Oh, it says lots about you. Do we need to apply an X rating for our listeners?
Oh, no, it's not too bad, actually.
Okay. Now we've got everyone really, really glued to the show. Tell me what you've got. I have no idea what your dream is. Off you go.
Righty-ho. Well, I'm in a classroom. Now, it could be a classroom, it could be an aeroplane. There are rows of seats, so it sort of looks like a classroom. And up the back is someone called John, who is a boy I went to school with when I was 11. But he's there at the back of the classroom. And the teacher, who may or may not be someone that I know, is asking me how I coped over the weekend with celibacy and loneliness and all the rest of it and singledom. And I actually say to everyone, I felt sorry for myself. And then this John character comes up and throws a coin at me. And I know he's making some sort of joke, and I know that there's an understanding that we'll sort of get together at the end of the day or after the class or what have you. And then I'm running. I'm running and I'm jogging, and I pass a man who's got this odd sort of bicycle, and it looks like a manta ray. It's a contraption for cleaning the street, but it's some sort of odd bicycle manta ray, like a steampunk sort of machine thing. And he tells me about a jogging club that was formed in this area in 1931, and I sort of think, oh, well, I might find out more about that and join it. And anyway, look, I'm running, and it's getting late, it's getting dark, it's twilight, and I'm actually naked, but I didn't sort of think about that at all. And I get to a fence, and there's a group of people, and I'm next to another man, the street cleaner guy with the odd manta ray bicycle. He's trying to chat me up, and he's interested in me. And I arch my back, and I wiggle my naked butt at him really provocatively, and I'm flirting, but I'm not interested in him at all. And but I'm standing next to someone else. I've got no idea about that someone else. And then the cleaner guy, he's now in the road, which is a creek. So it's sort of a road and a creek at the same time. And he's trapping this huge water spider with a broom. And he calls it a Venus flytrap. And it's actually on its way towards me. And that's when I wake up.
Mm.
And it's a huge spider, a really massive one.
How do you feel about the spider coming towards you?
I'm apprehensive, but not totally terrified. Just aware of it, conscious of it, aware that I might have to move out of the way, but not nearly as freaked out as I would have imagined. Just curious, a little bit frightened and curious.
A little bit frightened and curious. And you were definitely going to move out of the way. It wasn't going to touch you in any way.
No, I was definitely going to move out of the way.
And he called the spider a Venus flytrap.
This is what this bloke told me it was.
Even though the Venus flytrap is a plant.
And I remember thinking that in the dream too.
Thinking,
that's odd because it's a spider, not a plant.
Yeah. Although the Venus flytrap, of course, I mean, is well known because it's a moving plant, isn't it? Or it moves pretty fast, or it appears to move. I mean, all plants move. They move to face the sun and do all sorts of things. But there's that feeling that the fly lands on its leaves and it responds by slowly closing over it, doesn't it, to eat it? Yeah.
I think they actually snap quite quickly.
Oh, do they? Oh, that's
when
good.
Something lands.
Because I was just going to say to you, you know, spiders scuttle really quickly, but that kind of slow motion of the Venus flytrap didn't fit that. But now that you've said that, that means the two things are like fast, aren't they? It's like the spiders scuttle along quickly and Venus flytrap, they quickly trap when the fly is set. And a spider, of course, spins a web. And what does a spider do if flies come along?
What was that? Sorry?
Spiders normally sit on a spider web. And what do they do when flies come along?
Well, they grab them then.
Yeah, they trap them in their web. And if they're not hungry now, they go up to the fly in the web, from what I remember, and they spin some more silk around it and save it for later.
Imagine.
Yeah, either way, they trap the fly. So there is a kind of, I know we're fiddling about at the end of your dream here, but you know, hey, we never necessarily go in a logical order. But I'm looking for the connection between the spider and the Venus flytrap. The spider does, in a way, trap flies that come along and it snaps them, either snaps them to eat them or it traps them in the web and saves them for later.
Indeed.
Yeah, so, you know, calling this spider the Venus flytrap does give us a bit more information about the personality of this spider, that it acts quickly and it traps things. But it's also, you know, the name of the plant and the spider, the Venus flytrap, of course, is Venus, which is a female, the goddess of love, isn't she?
She is indeed, yes. It sort of reminds me of honey trap and things like that too. There's definitely a connotation there, isn't there?
There definitely is, yeah. So if we go back to giving your naked butt a little wiggle in the dream,
Shake that tushy.
Shake that tushy. Even though you were doing it without any intention in the dream, you were not interested in the street cleaning man, but you just did it. You said it was flirting. So there's that kind of maybe to some extent, and we will look at this later, but there's a connection there between flirting and Venus flytrap, the trap of love, so to speak, the love trap. Where is flirting a good thing and brings in the love that you want? Where is it misplaced in the dream? It was like fun. You were doing it just for fun or because it was an instinct, but you didn't really want a result. Where does Venus actually attract the love that she desires? And where does, to some extent, she overstep that mark and become the Venus flytrap? Gotcha. So, you know, we will come back to that feeling at the end. But of course, what I loved around all that energy at the end of the dream is that you said, even in the dream, you thought, I'm not as fearful as I might otherwise have been. I'm okay with this coming towards me. And I know it's not going to get me, like our sidestep out of the way. So it's kind of like meeting something that would under normal circumstances be fearful, but you're okay with it. So that tells me that at that point in the dream and in your life, you are now facing something around those issues, which in the past you would have definitely not wanted to have looked at and found quite scary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we'll put that in context later. And I don't know why I'm working through this dream backwards, but you know, this is what I'm going to do again. The street cleaner, the man on his Manta Ray bike. It's a manta ray bite. Is a manta ray a kind of fish as well? What am I thinking?
Well, it's a sort of stingray, but I think a really huge stingray.
Yeah.
I think they might be dangerous.
Yes, I think they might be. So there's a feeling there of the stingray and the flytrap and, you know, the sort of dangerous spiders can be dangerous. A Venus flytrap is dangerous as far as the fly is concerned.
Yes.
So there's that kind of feeling, even early in the dream with that name. But we'll come back to that. He was riding he was the cleaner and his job was to clean the streets. But at the end of the dream, the street that he was cleaning had turned into a creek. What did you say, a creek or a creek bed?
Well, a creek with running water.
With
both a road and a creek at the same time.
Right, okay. So at that point in the dream, instead of a dry road, he had a creek full of water. So we'd gone from something dry to something with water in it. And he was then, how was he going with cleaning the watery creek? What was happening?
I don't know that much was happening. I think by the time the road had become a creek, he was busy trying to move the spider.
Ah.
Sort of chasing it with a broom.
So
we're moving it along. The broom.
Why did he need to move the spider? Where was he moving it from?
Just out of the water, actually.
Out of the water, okay.
Back towards me.
Yeah. So water in dreams is one of those rare symbols that can tend to mean the same for all of us, which is our emotions.
Yes.
So we've gone from this dry road, and particularly with the feeling of the cleaner, like I've got to clean up some issues here. I've got to get it nice and clean and tidy and maybe dry, I don't know, but maybe in the aspect of cleaning or clearing something, you encountered, because everyone in a dream represents a part of yourself, you encountered some emotional issues. So the road that you were on, because that was also the road the cleaner was on, it was a road you were jogging along. It was like everybody's having a really nice time on this road and cleaning it up at the same time. And you were in a good frame of mind and doing the shaking your tush, kind of flirting but not flirting, and really having fun. And that somehow that sense of fun and joy and just doing what comes naturally opened up to a readiness to explore some emotional issues, which is the water in the dream. And then what came out, or kind of almost in a way flushed out of those emotions, was the Venus flytrap spider, because the cleaner man's going, oh, quick, let's get, using his broom, like a new broom sweeps clean, let's get this spider out and let's send it towards you, towards Lisa, because she needs to see this. So it's something that has come out of all of that for you to see.
Oh, goodness me.
So shall we go? Shall I make a valiant attempt to actually get to the beginning of the dream and come in from that direction now?
Yes, I'm in a class plane or a plane class.
That's right, okay, in the plane class. Now, you introduced it as a plane that was like a classroom, and after that you didn't refer to the plane again. You referred to it every time as a classroom. So, but to give me the feeling, was the plane on the ground, taking off? Could you feel it flying? Did you have any extra feeling for where the plane was going or how it was going?
Mid-flight, I believe. It was definitely airborne.
It was definitely airborne. Okay. So planes and dreams will often represent, so vehicles and dreams will often represent how we get places, how we are journeying in life. And as we know from your dream, one part of your journeying for life is kind of cleaning up streets and getting things sorted out, particularly dangerous things like stingrays, spiders and Venus flytraps. All right. And that part of your life, that here I am in the middle of the dream again, but I will get back to the beginning. That part of your dream is going with a bike. It's like I'm almost in contact with the ground with a bike. It's just one person cycles a bike. It hasn't got an engine. You don't get a key and turn on the ignition. It takes no great power. It's very much in touch with the world. So there's that part of yourself that is journeying along at ground level, in touch with everything, getting stuff sorted out. But the dream starts in the plane, and yet so you're actually off the ground. And sometimes it's a good thing to be off the ground, because sometimes you need to get up in the air and you know, in one sense, look down and see the lie of the land. But also getting up in the air is like getting up in your thoughts sometimes. You know, we often think of the mind as like air. It's the air, airiness. Ideas are invisible. When we think about ideas as a thing, we're kind of, I guess most people imagine sort of invisible thought waves going through the air. And we also talk about a plane of thought.
Ah,
and we talk about making plans, which are ideas before they actually manifest into something. So it's like a plan or a plane, maybe a word play there. But you get in the plane in waking life if you've got a long way to go and you want to get there quickly. So your dream starts with, I've got a long way to go, I want to get there quickly, and I'm already midway there. I'm feeling really good. I've got a lot of good ideas set up. I've got a lot of good plans. I'm feeling good about that. I'm halfway there. And not only that, like I'm airborne, I'm getting this thing off the ground, and I'm going to ground it, and I'm doing really well, and I'm pleased, and it's all in my head at the moment. And not only all of that, but I'm also learning a lot, because this is a classroom. So you know how some people set their plans and then they stick with them to the letter? This is how it's going to work. This is how it's going to work. We tick that box, tick that box, and we're going to keep on going until we achieve the plan. Oh, look, there we are. We've done it. And that can be a wonderful, admirable thing to do, but they may have missed along the way all sorts of other opportunities for, actually, that's a better way. Oh, I've just had a new thought. Oh, it would be better to do it this way. You know, there is always a case for having a plan, but also being lateral enough thinking and open-minded to see when there might be a better way to do something. And so my feeling in your plane there is that you're halfway along with a plan or an idea that you really feel that you have got underway, you've got it off the ground, it's on the way, but you also acknowledge that you're still learning stuff around that which may hopefully refine the outcome, whether you get there soon or whether it's a slightly different outcome. And you're sitting, did you say you were about the middle in the plane? In the seats? John was at the back.
John was right at the back, and the teacher character was at the front. So yes, I think I was.
Was the teacher a man or woman?
Nearer the front, though. No, nearer the front.
Okay. So you're a good girl. I'm a performer. Was the teacher a man or a woman?
It was a woman.
A woman, okay. Mm. So, you know, the female in the dream will tend to be a more creative, because it represents the inner female, not women. It doesn't represent women in general, it represents the inner female, which is more our right brain, our creative. Oh, good, it's our lateral thinking. It's what we've just been talking about.
Yeah.
So it's your lateral thinking, creativity, emotional, spirituality. The female side of ourselves is more like the yin. It's more like the taking the holistic, the whole picture view, rather than having to get down to the nuts and bolts and find out how it works. So this kind of relates to the plan too. You know, some people have the plan where they have the nuts and bolts. They've taken it, they've reduced it down to the elements. It's mechanical. You get the bolt, and then you put it in the hole, and then you put the screw on, and then you add this, and then you add that. And when we've done all these things at the end, we'll have a machine that works. That's a kind of reductionist inner male way of thinking. It's logical, makes perfect sense, always works. The female side is let's look at the big picture. What we want to achieve here is an outcome. We want to achieve a machine that turns wine into water or water into wine, whatever it is. That's the big picture. Let's work back and see how we can do this. This is how the female side of ourselves works, the right brains. We work back, and we don't necessarily work back to the nuts and bolts. We don't end up with something logical. We end up with something more intuitional. If I go this way and then I look out for signs of this, and if I stay open-minded on creating, and if I create something, maybe I'll add a bit of red, maybe I'll add a blue. Oh, look, that works better that way. Oh, I must get in contact with, and gradually the plan takes shape, and it ends up often when we work with our inner female, with our creative mind, with our right brain, we often end up with a better product. Right, because it hasn't been thought up and finalized before it even began. It has incorporated new ideas, new intuitions, and it has started by considering the end point, the big picture. This is one I want to achieve, even though other people might say, this is silly, this is beyond, you can't do that. I'm going to find a way to do that. It's more visionary. So I'm glad that the teacher is at the front, because this is the energy that you're going through at the moment. And then the next thing that you seem to need to know in your dream is John. Now, John is at the back of the plane for many reasons. What's behind you in a dream sometimes reflects what's in your past, that's behind me. And it's a long way back. And as you said, you haven't actually seen him since you were both 11 at school.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder what all these people would think knowing they're in other people's dreams all these down the track.
Yes.
So he is something, you know, and the dream always reflects the last 24 to 48 hours. So when you had this dream, which was how long ago, Lisa?
Oh, I had it, let me just think, the date on this, 26th, so about 3 days.
3 days ago. So the dream is reflecting the 2 days before that. So the 2 days before that, 4 and 5 days ago, something happened that resonated with when you were at school with John or John. You know, that's how our unconscious mind is filing away your experiences, conscious and unconscious, of the last couple of days, which for you were 4 or 5 days ago. And I went, oh, look, that's similar to John, or that's similar to when we were both 11 at school, and popped it in the dream just to give us a reference point. So the John that you knew back then, what three words would you use to describe him?
He was warm, he was quirky, and loving, actually.
Warm, quirky, and loving.
He was my first love.
Oh, he was your first love.
So little, yes.
So, Venus flytrap, he was your first love. Venus goddess, shake that tush. I think we have a theme going here. And not only was he your first love, so this is a dream something about experiences of relationship, intimacy, love, whatever, idealized love. I'm not sure just yet. But I also like the fact that he was quirky. Because quirky in many ways is what we need to tune into, our quirkiness, when we're going with our right brain, our inner female. Quirkiness is really authenticity. It's what makes me different from everybody else. Quirky's like, that person's quirky, they don't fit the norm. But quirky also implies, but I like that.
It's a positive thing, isn't it? Yeah.
So there's something that even back then you were attracted to. Of all the boys in your class, John was your first love because he was warm and loving, which was great, and he was also quirky.
He was different.
Right back when you were 11, you related to people being different.
Yes, that would be right.
Yeah, because you liked that.
True.
And if we just jump out of the dream for a moment and do a quick review without saying how many loving relationships you've had or whatever, if we just do a quick view and you look over however many of them there are, would you say that many of them were with quirky people, or did they tend
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, unconventional.
Unconventional,
yes.
Yeah. And where are you on the unconventional scale between 0, which is not at all unconventional, between 100%, which is totally unconventional?
Oh, in the 80s.
In the 80s, good. I love that.
Yes.
I think it's where most people are meant to be. But most of
them. Look, I hope so. I've got no choice in the matter.
You have no choice in the matter because you're in contact with your own heart and spirit and your own individuality, your own authenticity. Whether or not you show it, it's there. It's there in your dreams and you know it deep down inside. And you've always been attracted to those kind of people because it's like a kindred spirit. So there's that. And, you know, and most of us are more wary about showing our individuality because people might not like us.
Yeah.
Oh, things happen. Scary. Yeah. So you have gone down this track, but there may be a sense in which being attracted to people over the years that are quirky, that you may have had a judgment yourself on other people being quirky because of how you have felt about people judging you for quirky. If you think back to when you were about 11, how different did you feel then from other people?
Oh, very much so.
Was there a standout event that's in your mind right now?
Not so much an event, just I was just different.
Mm.
Just different. Probably, being creative and curious and probably more outspoken than little girls meant to be.
Yeah.
And certainly a bit of a smart ass. I had a reputation for being the class clown, and that wasn't something that girls were meant to be. The boys, John was the boy class clown, and I was the girl. So, you know, it was sort of all right if you were a boy, but it wasn't quite as acceptable if you were a girl.
So did you do it anyway, or did you feel some sort
I
of
did it anyway?
And did you feel any judgment from that or any ostracism?
Yes, just the sense that I was odd and people found me odd and quirky. Yes, just a little bit too much personality for, it was entirely desirable.
I like the way that you described yourself as a smart ass, and in the dream that's what you're doing when you're wiggling your bottom. Like, it's my naked butt.
Oh,
I'm just being a smart ass because I'm only just flirting with you. Look at my bottom. Look at my butt. Look at my tush. Smart ass.
Oh, goodness, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Me and my smart ass.
Yeah. Very smart. Put some clothes on. No. No, that's good. And so there's that feeling there running through the dream that for whatever reason, at state you are at the moment with this plan that you've got midair that you are still learning about, and particularly by adding more and more creative input into it, has brought up this subject of quirkiness, authenticity, and the fact that you've been attracted to that and you recognize yourself in that and you are authentic. You know, you tend to show your authenticity, although you may still today, perhaps more unconsciously than consciously, hold back from thinking, ooh, I'm happy with being quirky and different, but how do people really respond to that? Is there something, consciously or unconsciously, that actually sometimes holds you back from maybe landing that plane or maybe being in a very fulfilled relationship or whatever it is, because there's sort of slightly fear, yeah, but I'm odd. You better be careful getting involved with me, you know, because I'm odd. I talk too much. There might be trouble. I'm a Venus flytrap. I'm a spider.
Ah.
Is this making sense?
Oh, yes, it certainly does, isn't it? Quite clearly.
So can we go to the middle of the dream? John throws a coin at you, and in the dream you felt that was like, I'll speak to you later. Well, tell me a bit more about that.
Oh, yes, it was an odd, it was a seemingly disrespectful sort of, you know, like people would throw coins down at the ground at gypsies dancing or something like that. But I also knew that it was a sort of a message that, you know, he was sort of being insulting but in a joking sort of way.
Yeah.
And I knew he was just sort of there and that we'd connect eventually, and it was like a private joke between the two of us.
Fantastic.
He was making fun of me, but in a way that illustrated our connection.
Because you were both class clowns.
I understood that he wasn't being malicious.
Yeah.
At all, and that he was just, in other words, you'll keep, you know, you'll hold.
Yeah.
And it was an understanding between the two of us.
Oh, look, that's really lovely. So in a way, there's the your connection with gypsies dancing there. It's like the a little bit the outsider, but, you know, but very intuitional perhaps there as well, and the fact that you had an understanding between the two. So he was making fun, but it appeared to be disrespectful, but it was actually in a deeply respectful way because he knew that you were both coming from the class clown aspect, and you both spoke the same language.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a feeling there. There's the tension of what is respectful and what is disrespectful. Do people respect my oddball humour? I don't know if it's oddball. I'm just going by what you're telling me. Do people respect my humour? Do I respect my humour? My humour is a very strong point, something it'll keep. It's a keeper. It's really, really good. It puts me back in my... I should use my humour. It's worth a lot. That's a coin he threw.
Oh, yes. Oh, how exciting. This is really interesting.
Yeah.
Golly.
Mm. My humour is worth heaps. And he threw that... Who asked a question about celibacy? Because that's why I was talking about relationships.
The teacher was sort of asking me about how I coped with a lonely weekend.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, that's why I was keying in at the end and talking about relationships. I couldn't remember why, but the celibacy
that's
question.
Right.
Okay, so...
And I answered it very honestly, saying I felt sorry for myself.
Yeah, that's right. You felt sorry for yourself.
That's true.
So you should, yeah. Got to say how you feel. You're an outspoken or a quirky person after all. You did say that. You speak the truth. So there's that question at the beginning of the dream with how do I feel about either celibacy itself or not being in a relationship or about being lonely rather than alone. And you're in a learning situation in the plane. You're in a classroom. The teacher part of you elicits your response. This is an area that you want to learn something about. Start by how you feel. Yeah, I did. I felt lonely. I missed the sex, whatever it was. I missed a relationship, whichever area it was, or all of the above. This is a question I want to explore. And what comes up for that immediately is this the worthiness of the humour, your keep, the quirkiness, takes you back to first love, takes you back to questions of all the things that we've just, I don't want to repeat, that we've just all talked about here today, which a lot of is... In all my relationships, I have been attracted to quirky people, and there may be a little bit of reticence in me that although I love my quirky, outspoken, different individual self, maybe at some level, conscious or unconscious, I think that I will be perceived as the dangerous manta ray, stingray, spider, Venus flytrap.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
It's,
yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like the sting,
makes a lot of sense.
It's the sting in the tail, like that wriggling little touche, the sting in the tail, the stingray. Jogging in the, and now we come to the middle of the dream, like midair and the flight in the plane. Jogging along the road. We're jogging for exercise, for fun, for.
Yes, probably just a keep fit sort of thing.
Mm. Right, okay, so for help and keeping fit. And preceding that was, you know, watching the street cleaner clean the streets. So it's like I'm cleaning, I'm clearing my issues, I'm keeping fit. So we know all of that. And in a sense, I guess, you know, you've got that classroom situation in the plane about looking at relationships and learning from your past relationships and learning from your first love and then putting value on humor and all of that. You then go to, okay, I'm keeping fit, I'm cleaning the streets, I'm cleaning my road, I'm checking my journey, I'm doing all of this. Yes, I'm in touch with my humour. Yes, I can flirt regardless of, that's not, you know, the outcome is not necessarily, I don't want to attract a particular person, I'm just enjoying the moment. I'm having fun here, this is all good, and that's where the water, we get into the really deeper emotional stuff, which leaves us with one thing, which is that 1931. What did that refer to again?
It was a club. It was a jogging club that was established in that particular area where we were, wherever it was.
Mm.
And the street cleaning guy was telling me that an historical jogging club had been founded there in 1931.
Okay, so let's play around with the 31. Mm. Where were you when you were age 31?
Well, that's when I got married, actually.
Oh, that would, considering we're talking about relationships, that would seem to be a little bit significant.
Ah, yes.
So, because your dream's been about your celibacy and everything, you're not married now?
No. That was long gone.
And just one marriage.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is really significant that the dream will come into when you were 31. See, what we sometimes do with dates, like, say, 1931, you know how when you you write or you email, we don't usually refer, it's particularly in the 20th century, we didn't write down 1954, 1974, we just put in 74, in 54.
Mm,
yeah, so that often you'll find that dates which seem to be years, like 1931, are often referring to the 31 as often the age. It's like 1931 is an historical date, so it's often taking you back to a date and an age. It doesn't always work that way, but it often does. You know, for everyone listening in, numbers are always accurate in some way and they can be various. So in Lisa's dream, it might have been 31 years ago. It might have been that she has a P.O. box, which is 1931, or had one once. It might be a bus number, a train number. There are many ways. It might have been the 19th of March 2001, you know, 1931. Play around with the numbers, because the right brain in dreams, when we're asleep, the unconscious mind, the right brain, doesn't think logically. So it doesn't say if you get a 2 and a 2 that looks to us like 22, the right brain will go, could be 22, could be two twos, could be two twins, could be 2 weeks ago and then another 2 weeks ago, could be two. You know, it has different ways of looking at the number. And so when we interpret a dream with numbers, we have to kind of come at it from a very lateral thinking point of view, not the logical left brain way, and play around with those numbers, because usually they are your unconscious mind or your right brain's attempt to give you some information. And so it looks to me, because you said that age 31 was when you got married, and in the dream it was like the jogging club started in 1931. Something around this dream which was significant started when you were 31. So if we're referring to the beginning of the marriage, presumably that's when things were looking really good in the marriage. And in the dream, the jogging is the really good part. It's like, I'm having fun here, jogging along. And yet it's also taking you back to your marriage date. The cleanup man in the dream is reminding you that something started when you were 31. He's cleaning things up, getting back, you know, kind of to basics, and telling you that something started then. So if we think of just some of the issues, quirkiness, difference, humour, worthiness, these are some of the things we've looked at, and concerns about being the dangerous Venus flytrap. Is there anything jumping in your mind that connects you to when you were 31 and got married, your expectations, whatever?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, I suppose like many people, those sorts of things attracted my ex-husband to me, but they also became problematic for him to cope with as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, again, it was both compelling, but he found it very hard to handle.
Right, okay. So we're going to really put some alchemy in here for future relationships, but you have totally got it there. So what you had when you got married was the kind of microcosm of all of the above. Someone was attracted to you for your quirkiness. You got into a relationship, you thought you were in a very good place, but in the end, your reading of it is that he found the Venus flytrap a bit too hard to take.
Yeah.
And he was off, leaving you feeling even more like a Venus flytrap. And I'm here to tell you that you are no way a Venus flytrap. I'm just interpreting from your dream how you have seen your situation.
Right.
So if we go back, and this is probably something that we haven't really got the depth and time to do in, say, the last 5 minutes of the podcast, but that we would probably take another hour to do in another occasion, but I'm sure you can do this by yourself, is that it's going back and realizing that in that relationship, when you got married to your husband, it didn't really begin there. The jogging club didn't really begin then, because it really began when you had your relationship with John, your first love, when you were 11. And all the other relationships, real or imagined, that you had along the way. And so that when you actually got married, at the back of your mind already was the mindset of, I'm going to be too quirky for him in the end. He's going to think of me as the Venus flytrap. But I'm really hopeful that he doesn't. But, you know, whether you were consciously aware of this or not, unconsciously you had this feeling that you better beware me, because I'm quirky, I'm different. And it may be that just in you having that thought, even if it was unconscious, that it affected the way that you responded in the relationship and in life, as if you would kind of, I don't know which way it went, Lisa, you know, it may have been that you compensated for that so that, oh, I better make sure that I'm not a Venus flytrap. And then in doing that, he's like going, well, where's this quirky woman that I married? Or it may have been that you went the other way and thought unconsciously, I'm the Venus flytrap. So I'm going to respond in that way. In some of my relationship, and he's going, oh, shit, back off. But, you know, either way, it's all in your own mind. But it's how we feel about ourselves, or how we see ourselves, how we perceive ourselves, is based on our beliefs, which is based on our history, our early experiences. And even though they can be unconscious in, for example, a relationship, but in anything, a job, any situation, but in, for example, a relationship, even though it's unconscious, it colors or informs the way we respond. And subtly that begins to change the dynamics of the relationship so that it moves out of the beautiful, positive, loving thing it began as and becomes different. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, I do, yes.
So those are the kind of things for you to ponder and work out on your own later, because they've come out of the dream. But then my role in that is then to give you a dream alchemy practice that will actually make that work really well for you. So just reminding everyone listening in, what a dream alchemy practice is number one, you have a dream and you interpret it. You understand your situation more deeply, as we've just done with Lisa. Then we say, okay, in looking at your dream, we understand more clearly your mindset, particularly some unconscious beliefs that may not be working well for you. And in Lisa's case, they are perhaps potentially poisoning the way that she would like her relationships to turn out. Oh, and I have to aside to you here, Lisa, I think this plane is not just looking for a relationship destination, it's something else as well, which is also being, you know, you're also grappling with the same issue.
Yeah.
Talking to everybody else again. the dream alchemy. What the dream alchemy then does is, if you identify an unconscious belief that is not working well for you, then we bring in dream alchemy, which can be a number of things, but it's basically playing with and working with the symbols of your dream, because those symbols come from your unconscious mind, playing with them in ways that reprogram them so that your beliefs that aren't working well for you, as in Lisa's case, along the lines of, I'm a Venus flytrap, better beware, are actually reprogrammed and changed into better beliefs like, I'm a rosebud. That's the first thing that springs to mind. I'm quirky, I'm beautiful, I'm authentic, I'm funny, I have a great sense of humor, I'm definitely different, and I am a beautiful, soft rosebud, you know, that kind of thing. And what you're doing by doing that visualization and replaying playing around with a symbol in the dream in a different way, is actually talking to your unconscious mind in a language that it understands and reprogramming it, so that then when you, Lisa, for example, encounter or begin a new relationship, or continue with wherever your plane is bound, which may be suffering from a similar undermining, you're no longer undermined by an unconscious inner perception of yourself as a Venus flytrap, and you're more accelerated and appreciated and enlarged and empowered by being something quite different, by seeing yourself, for example, as a quirky, different, beautiful, soft rosebud, whichever symbol we come up with. And by doing the visualization, even though you will spend some time contemplating this relationship thing, I know, doing the visualization is working the two-way process. A part of you will simply and laudably want to just get your head around this, because it's nice to be able to do that and then learn the lesson. And the other part of you, by doing the alchemy, is actually working at the same time to reprogram, so that you're then coming from a better, clearer space for the next relationship. So do you think that that the Venus flytrap is kind of like the symbol that you want to transform, or do you think it should be the spider? Which symbol jumps out from you, the dream, is the one that you think would be the good one to
dream? Only because they do tend to crop up in my dreams.
The spider. Oh, good. That's a good reason to do that if it's in a lot of dreams. Okay. So we've got the spider in your dream as representing something that moves very fast and that traps things on its web. And we don't want that, because we don't want you to feel that I'll attract you into my web and then I'm going to trap you. and the female spider eats males after mating.
Yes. They're literally a scary sort of symbol.
Yeah, so we definitely want to change that. Now, the other bad thing that you can do, and people can walk into this trap without realizing, is that you can think that it's a good thing to kill off a dream symbol. You can think, okay, look, what we'll do is we'll just imagine the spider and we'll go up and stamp on it and that'll be that finished. It'll be killed off. It'll be gone. It won't be a mind conscious mind anymore. And to some extent, that's true. But what that does is leave a hole. Oh, there's nothing there. So we might have got rid of the spider, the feeling of trapping people, but we haven't replaced it by a feeling of encouraging and nurturing. There's a hole, and that's when people can feel depressed, fall flat. It's like you do a lot of healing work in other, so-called healing work in other modalities, which lock things off, close them off, kill them off, finish them off, and you're left, well, this is pretty boring, isn't it? I'm depressed. You've got to, the trick is to transform something negative into something positive, to replace it with something better. So given that the spider is the man-eating trap...
That couldn't be more obvious, really.
No. What would you like to replace it with? What seems a more positive symbol?
Oh. Well, there's something about the bicycle, isn't there? Because that's sort of going on one's own steam and, like you were saying, being close to the ground and just going along at a comfortable pace.
Yes, I like that. So there's no scuttling and it's big and seen. And it doesn't trap. Well, would it work if it was a tandem, that it could take someone else along with you both joyfully to the same place?
No, that's a nice thought. That makes sense.
Okay, so you're going to be with someone going in the same direction rather than one of you scuttling after the other one and the other one scuttling away.
I think in tandem is a very good notion to go with.
Okay, now you can either have a visualization or you can have a writing thing or an affirmation or some artwork. These are all valid ways of doing alchemy. Which one of these appeals to you?
Probably a visualization.
Visualization, okay. So although a visualization, we instantly think, well, it's seeing pictures in your mind, which of course it is, it's a visualization. A visualization also works best if we engage as many senses as we can, so that when we imagine something and we visualize it, we also visualize, although that seems the wrong word, we visualize how it tastes, how it feels to touch, how it sounds. So it's like to bring in, and most importantly, we want to visualize the wonderful emotion we're going to have that we attach to this visualization. So you want to have, I imagine in this, the sense of being quirky, being individual, being fun and funny, and being together and in a nurturing, loving relationship. So you want to have a feeling of, what would you say of?
Well, just connected with, I guess, with someone who isn't frightened.
Okay.
Of me or the relationship.
So connecting with someone who isn't frightened, what's the opposite to frightened? If they're not frightened, they are?
Accepting, calm. Embracing.
Embracing. Accepting, calm, embracing. So you want to be riding the tandem with a feeling of, with someone else on your bike and the feeling that you're both going to the same place together and you're connected and embracing.
Perfect.
So this is what we'll do then. So let me just see. We've got at the dream, we get to the place where he finds the spider, and that's the point which we'll transform it. So let's go from, yeah, I think we'll just do that. The key is to keep it simple too. Okay, Lisa, close your eyes.
Yes.
And you can see that street cleaner sweeping the water in the creek, sweeping. You're quite curious because you are a curious person. You go, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? And all of a sudden, with one almighty sweep, out pops a tandem bicycle. And you are so surprised. And you are joyfully surprised because it's solid gold. It's amazing. And you run up and you say, shaking your tush, and you say, this is what I want. This is great. And you jump on the main seat. This is quirky. Who else has got a gold tandem? This is quirky. This is different. This is individual. This is so me. And oh, look, it's got some funny little things on the handlebars. Oh, I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to be the joker. People love this. I've got a real sense of humor. And then you look behind you and you feel the presence of this wonderful partner on the back. And actually you can feel his arms wrapping around you and embracing you. And you feel the embrace, you feel the connection, you feel the love, you feel the warmth, you feel the quirkiness, you feel the acceptance, you feel the calm. And right coming in after the calm is a sense of pure, exhilarating joy as you cycle, cycle, cycle at a beautiful, calm, relaxed, kind of jogging, happy kind of feel, breathing the beautiful, fresh air. And this is just so, so calm and relaxing. And so good.
Well, it's divine.
Good, it is, isn't it? It's totally divine. Mm. It's divine in every aspect. So as usual for a visualization, most of the work is done in the first one, but it's really important to anchor it in. So do it about 20 times a day, 30 is even better. Mm-hmm. You can do 20 in a straight row. If you just sit down, take 20 minutes, you can go boom, boom, boom. Or you can spread them out. Do 20 a day for 2 weeks. And then just twice a day when you get up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. And that way what you're doing is you are, as you let go of contemplating the issues and let that all seep away, you are reprogramming your unconscious mind to be ready for the absolute divine relationship.
Oh, how lovely. All right, I shall definitely be doing that.
Okay, well, your plane will be landing at a destination very soon.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for sharing your dream, Lisa. I'm sure everybody's just got absolute heaps out of it. Thank you. I said you'd love that one, didn't I? And I know that you did. And what did you take away for you? What resonated for you? Was there something there that you can apply in your life? I hope that there was. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and have your dream interpreted for free, of course, go to thedreamshow.tv and click on be a guest on the show or be on the show or whatever the link says. It's very obvious when you get there anyway. We'd love to hear from you. Remember our other sites, dream.net.au. Go to our shop, buy some stuff. All these podcasts are done for free. So yeah, go and give us a clap, give us an applaud, spend some money. Or go to my blog at janetheresa.com or come along and say hello on Facebook. You know, we've actually got quite a low number of likes on Facebook compared to, I guess, what we could have. I think we're at, I don't know, 500 or 600 people. So you know, maybe we just appeal to people that don't spend time on Facebook. Very possibly. But if you're on Facebook, come along and give us a like, because I would really like to see you there. You can post to me, comment. And of course, if you're at Facebook, what you get to do is find out before anybody else when the podcast shows are up, when the blogs are up, and other things like when I'm on TV or when I'm on radio. And wherever you are in the world with these radio things, you know, there's usually online streaming. You can grab the link, listen in, even phone up and bring in your dream to the show. So there's many, many reasons to be on Facebook. Come along, give us a like. Well, I think that's enough for another week. So thanks for being with us for yet another episode of The Dream Show. And I'll see you next week, next Thursday or Friday, depending on where you are in the world when our show comes out. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.